Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
You have now found yourself trapped in the incomprehensible maze. Y'all know how it be.
Okay, are you ready?
You guys, welcome to your Wednesday episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan. How is everybody doing today? Now, Wednesday, what do we say? It's hump day, not in terms of humping people, but it's you made it past the hump. After today, you're over halfway through the week and you only got two more days and you can do that. Like I said, this is the time you can completely check out. Your boss is going to be cool with it. Trust me, if your boss isn't cool with it, I'll give you my number. You have him or her talk to me and we'll work it out. But I'm telling you, check out from this point on. I hope you guys enjoyed the show yesterday. I was very angry about Salt Lake City. How? I mean, what? I can't. I was very angry doing that recap because it reignited my fury all over again. And I have bad news for you guys. They're doing a 3-part reunion. There is no need to do a 3-part reunion of this show. Like, what are they going to do? I mean, are they? I can't imagine that this is going to be good content. Like, I feel like they're pressed to find one episode. So we obviously know then that Jen Shah is going to be one episode, but I just can't imagine that they're trying to get 2 episodes out of this. My only thought is, and I know this is like a little inside baseball, but I was like, they might have pre-sold advertising and they kind of have to stretch it out. So we'll see tomorrow night, or tonight, actually. We'll see tonight how much filler there is. Who knows? Really, who knows? But I want Bravo to retire the words ride or die and grace. We've got to give each other grace. Oh, God, it's so annoying. So the first part of the reunion starts tonight. Today, you guys, we have an amazing show for you, as always. Guys, even when things are wonky in my life, we put the work in, folks. We do this. I hope you guys are enjoying this. We have Bill and Becky Bailey back on today. This is very silly. My mom got her, my mom shaved her hair, or we got it professionally done, and she's bald as a bowling ball. Is that a correct? But I'm so glad it went good and it went okay. And we'll talk about that a little bit in this quick 10-minute interview. And my dad's here, and we had a blast talking, and it's been really, really nice being able to spend all this time with them. And, but it's so funny. I'm their son, but it always constantly feels like I'm auditioning. Like with my mom, I'm like, Mom, how good has this been? Huh? I've been helping. That means you should be okay with me staying now for weeks at a time. it's so funny. I'll talk more about that on Thursday's episode when I think I'm going to do a solo one, just me and you guys. So if you have any questions or anything like that, make sure you email me at SoBadIt'sGoodWithRyanBailey. Also a reminder on the Patreon, we are doing Summer House recaps over there starting February 13th. So go sign up over there. I'm forgetting something. If you like the podcast, leave it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also, I didn't get to read all the messages, but I got so many amazing messages about my mom's piece on yesterday's podcast, and you guys are just so great. I mean, not even great, because I think you genuinely dig her like I do, and but it's just really nice to hear from you guys. It's really nice. It's really nice. And then also, besides that, we have 2 of my favorite guests that come on here. I think this is their 3rd time. We got Brandi Howard and Julie Goldman, and you remember them from The People's Couch, but they're really one of my favorite twosomes, and they're great individually, but I just think they're magical together and they make me laugh. I feel like those are the kind of people, they have this talent where you feel like you would be friends with them. Like you're like, I'm like, oh man, these remind me of like my friends. I think probably everybody feels that way about them because they say how they genuinely feel. And that's for better or worse. I'm actually on their podcast this week, Dumb Gay Politics. I think it should be out. I'm not sure. I think maybe Thursday, but I'll let you guys know. And this was yesterday, and I was already angry about Salt Lake. And then we were talking politics, and there is a more politically bent podcast, which they talk about hating it so much because who enjoys talking about politics? But I raged against the machine on their podcast about politics. So if that's your thing, it's going to be over there. But I think these ladies are amazing. And I got to tell you, what's kind of cool too is that we talk about the Jen Shah stuff, because I did this interview last week in preparation for this week because I knew I would be here, and they had watched the finale of Salt Lake, and they have a very different opinion about Jen Shah. And I kind of like, when it's them or when it's somebody I truly respect, I kind of like, I go, okay, that's really interesting. I really enjoy hearing different people's perspectives because they're not like, it's not standing. It's like, oh, okay. And their point about Jen Shah was very, very interesting in terms of what other people get for crimes like this, and even what males get for crimes like this. We were using kind of like upper political figures doing similar things and getting way less time. And I had never really thought about that. Now, listen, my opinion pretty much stays firm about Jen Shah, but she got way less time than I thought she would. But I just wanted to point that out. I just think they're so fun and funny. And we laugh. I giggle like a fucking school kid in this, just to warn you. Oh, I didn't need to say that F word. I got to watch my cursing on this. Anyways, okay. Without further ado, my mom and dad, Bill and Becky Bailey. And just so you know, the sound might be a little echoey because I did not bring two mics with me. Okay, here we go.
Hey guys, welcome to an all new episode of So Bad It's Good. We have two special guests today. One is bald now, and the other one is my mom. Bill and Becky Bailey, welcome to the show.
Oh, peace.
And the bald one is his mom. I'm now an official Star Trekkie.
Yeah, the character from Star Trek, the movie, she was bald, just like you are. You guys knew last night that my mom was getting her hair shaved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got it, and you look good. How did it feel?
It feels fine. A little chilly, so I have a little skull cap that I wear around the house.
You should put underwear on.
Or a coat, or hide my face.
But it wasn't
traumatic.
Yeah,
it's good.
But it might feel traumatic tomorrow.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe you'll get up and I'm just trying to add trauma to it for you.
Oh yeah, you're trying to make me get.
Yeah, show back.
I'll just wear my wigs out. It's all good.
Yeah, we're the blonde one tonight.
It will grow back.
And thank you to everyone that. People were just sending hair wraps suggestions and stuff like that.
That's great.
The one I sent you.
Slouch hat.
Yeah, yeah.
That looked cool.
And Dad, I woke up super early. I didn't get really much sleep last night. And then I went and partied with a bunch of older men.
Oh, and women.
And women. Sorry, older men and women.
At the forum.
We went for breakfast. And you guys go at like 7, really early in the morning. Yeah. And you know the waiter's name, who seems like a 16-year-old or something?
No, he's like 21.
He's 21?
Good kid, yeah.
Yeah, you guys all know him, and a lot of people made fun of you. All the guys bullied you. I didn't realize you were the one that they made fun of.
Yeah, it's good to be included. I haven't been canceled yet.
Yeah. Well, I think you like hanging out with them because you're one of the younger looking people in the group.
Yeah, we're all in our mid 70s. I'm 74.
But I'm saying I think you, because you still have your hair color is still brown. Everybody else kind of seems to have white hair or.
And I'm better looking.
And you're better looking, yeah. But the other thing was these guys. All they talked about was everything that was wrong with them.
I know, really. I mean, it was an old man breakfast. I mean, as soon as we sat down, there was only, what, two other people there, and we got there. I mean, radiation and...
One guy's getting something jammed up his penis on Friday.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Cystoscopy.
And then it seemed like you guys were competing over what was wrong with you guys. Each one was trying
to one-up the other. I listen, but they always do it. It's true. But, I mean... That's all old people talk about, their health.
Yeah.
Every week it's like that.
Yeah. So I'm telling you guys out there, I'm warning you, this is going to happen to you too. So please go get the exercise today you need. Take the vitamin you need now. I was at breakfast with these people and it wasn't good, you guys. It was very sad. I mean, they were laughing, but you could tell. And you could tell the jealousy of me and my young body and my youth.
Well, yeah, because Brian wanted to know if you were leaving.
Yeah. And your health, your youth, your sight, your hearing.
No, I'm losing all of those things, too. I can't imagine staying alive for 30 more years.
No, but it's really a lot of fun. And then we go bowling afterwards.
And
continue to make fools of ourselves.
But they said you're the bad bowler.
Well, duh.
Is that true?
Well, sure. Oh. I'm not the worst, but I'm not the best by far.
Yeah.
But I did okay today. Like I told you at dinner, I had a 147, a 180, and then a 137. That's good for me.
That's good. That's good for anybody.
And his handicap adds, you know.
Well, they tell me I'm their handicap.
Oh, honey.
Just like you've always told me.
So what you're saying to people out there that get bullied, it doesn't get better. The older you get, it doesn't get better.
Just laugh.
Yeah. So what's happening tomorrow here? What is the excitement?
Two of my friends are going to stop by, and one's bringing, she's been through the chemo route, and she's going to bring some of her hats too, and we're going to kind of have a little hat.
Just a nice and a fun chemo party?
Yeah.
And I'm going
to
dance.
Well, it's the hat thing.
Yeah. And then you have to go back to the doctor's on Friday, right?
Yeah, get a port put in.
And okay, so that's happening. We also were just watching Jeopardy, and they had a whole category for housewives. And Dad got to watch me get one of those right. You must have been proud.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be proud of something.
And I watched, I started, finally, the Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah, you started Vanderpump Rules today from the beginning.
Really? Okay. Yeah, so it was interesting.
I like that show. I like that.
Because I forgot, they were so... In that beginning, they're so much younger. Of course, we all were back then.
Yeah, we were.
And it was interesting what I had missed.
What'd you say about Stassi, though?
I said, she's a little devil.
Is Stassi the one who threw the drink in the face?
Stassi's the one that slapped Kristen.
Okay, is that it? Yeah.
And then the big thing was, she seems like a very bright, young, intelligent girl. Why is she, as she let Jax sleep not at home for like 2 or 3 nights a week, and that's okay.
What do you mean? Like, well, you were saying, why did she date him for 2 years to begin with?
Yes, and he sleeps around. He doesn't come home.
So what's your
point?
And all
she says is, oh, why didn't you come home last night? And it's like, I would have got...
So you're saying as a woman, you would have stood up for yourself.
Oh, yes.
And you wouldn't have let that happen.
He's staying for free. And she seems more intelligent than that.
Well, I mean, wait, watch a couple more seasons, see if you still say the same thing.
Yeah. I like that Vanderbilt thing.
Vanderpump,
Vanderbilt. And also the Summer House with that one.
Yeah, Summer House comes on in a couple weeks,
like
too.
That.
And I'll have
like
to have you guys watch an episode of that. And then what was I going to say, too? Oh, yeah, I didn't tell Dad this. I said this on yesterday's show, and Mom said in the car, the drive the other day, she asked me very seriously. She said, do you hum when you make a bowel movement?
He's in there humming.
Because she's listening to me go to the bathroom, and she says,
you'll always be her little boy.
I was humming, but also, isn't that okay to hum while you go to the bathroom?
I get in and get out.
Well, you're not an artist like I am. Like, this is a musical talent.
You're right. I have to have a bucket.
But you needed to ask me. I'm so happy you asked me privately instead of with a group of people around like you usually do.
You should be around more often.
Yeah.
He's not coming back for a while, folks.
But I will have to say, pats on the back to me, is that I've really made your whole week, and I think I've made both of your guys' week being here, right?
You did. I had
Dad?
A great,
and you are
great. But I really did. And we got out the good wines.
No, but seriously, seriously. No, it's been nice.
It's
very
been
nice.
A nice treat.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you want to say to everybody?
No, just thank you.
Just peace and don't hate.
Yeah, can you believe it's only been 3 weeks since Christmas?
I know.
It feels like it's been months and months and months.
Yeah, because we've got the Christmas decorations all down and put away, and it seems like a long time, like you said.
And you've lost 20 pounds. No, I'm talking about your hair.
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
Yeah, got all that off. But I did, because I gained 30 pounds on this medication.
But that's not you. That was the medication.
The medication. And I've lost 10 of it. So that makes me.
That's what I tell people, too, is I'm on medication.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, actually, you might like this, is that a lot of housewives and celebrities now, they're doing this thing called Ozempic, which is a diabetes drug.
I've seen
And everybody's pissed, because then actual people with diabetes can't get their medicine, because all these celebrities are doing Ozempic.
What to do? I mean, a weight loss?
Yeah,
it
pretty much takes away your appetite completely.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Well, and they say if you quit, then you gain like double the weight back.
Yes. It's a yo-yo effect.
But if I can get you some, do you want it?
No.
I'm joking.
I don't do that stuff.
I would take it myself.
You would not.
I mean, if it was free, I probably would.
No.
No, if I could be assured that all the diabetic people.
Inside of your bodies, you
can't. Oh, it's already hurt.
You can't do that up and down stuff.
Dad, any advice for 2023?
No, not at all. No.
No, not at all. No, no.
Hey.
No.
come together. Be peace. No hate. We're all in this together.
Oh, you know what I haven't told the audience at all? I kept this completely, was about Addison, my niece.
Oh, yeah.
So on New Year's Eve. She broke her back, and that sounds way more
sledding accident.
But they went to go skiing.
Sledding.
Sledding, sorry, but it was in the snow.
Some people call it sledding.
And she And she had it like she hit something and completely
up in the air, and
down. They had to airlift her to
Children's Hospital in Phoenix,
and they thought it was even worse. And it turns out she broke like the L7 or something, and she's in a back brace. But she's so lucky because it wasn't anything.
Yeah, they thought she was going to be paralyzed for the rest of her life.
I mean, that was New Year's Eve. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And so we were like, "Oh my God, can anything more happen?"
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, really, just. It is what it is. You just deal with it. And we dealt with it as a family.
You know, God takes care of us.
Amen.
Dealt with it as a family. I was calling Connor. He acted annoyed to talk to me. He was like, oh, yeah, she's hurt. Yeah. Anyways, I got to go. And I'm like, what do you got
to
do?
Because him and his dad had to drive back by themselves.
But they weren't even driving yet. They were hanging out at the place.
Until the next day.
Yeah. Flew in.
He just didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah. He was bored.
But
he got A's, all A's, and one
you know,
B.
But you know, Ryan, you should be used to that now. People are not wanting to talk to you.
Yeah.
Aren't you used to that?
That's why you do a podcast. You know, you're going to choose who you talk to.
Just like when you were a
they
kid.
Have, yeah.
We had to pay people to play with.
By the way, now that I think of it, I was doing podcasts as a kid. I would just talk to myself in a corner. Yeah. Among other things
in a corner.
Yeah. And Connor, my nephew, or you guys know him as Watermelon, he's getting great grades. But then the other thing is this kid's growing up. We all went out to eat on Sunday night. We get this shrimp appetizer. This dude gets two shrimps. I got one shrimp. Dad gave Connor.
Dad gave my nephew. Only have one.
Like I said, I'm a much better grandfather than I was a father.
Yeah, but you should actually, when I'm here, be a better father than a grandfather.
Nah, not really.
And you need to teach that kid a lesson. And if it comes down to it, I'll compete with that kid. I sent him a lot of nasty text messages the next day.
Oh good.
Okay, that's it, you guys.
Peace out, everybody.
Peace, love.
Love you guys.
Bill and Becky Bailey, triumphant duo return. Speaking of duos, let's just move on right to our guests. You know them, you love them, from the podcast Dumb Gay Politics. Their Patreon, go to their website. It has all the information. It'll be in the show notes. You can sign up for the Patreon, which is awesome. Dumb Gay Politics, like I just mentioned. But you know and love them, or they might have first came on your radar through The People's Couch on Bravo. Now, what I love is that they have, like, they admittedly kind of went far away from Bravo, and I think we're slowly pulling them back in. Like, we're testing. They watched this season of Salt Lake, and I'm slow. And then I was texting with them the other night, I was talking with them, and I said, hey, you guys got to do Potomac. Maybe not this season, but like the last couple of seasons, do it. Just do it. And I think they might do it. And I'm very excited about that. So without further ado, Brandi Howard and Julie Goldman. This is all about Salt Lake, but we joke about tons of other things, okay? And I will talk to you guys on Thursday. I hope you have a great Wednesday. I just want to talk to these people all the time. I'm not gonna lie. I really could talk about anything with them. We're gonna talk about Salt Lake today and a bunch of other things, but this is the third time they've been here. They are like my favorite duo, and individually they're awesome as well. Together they're awesome. Every which way they are awesome. You know them from their podcast, Dumb Gay Politics, which I think I'm gonna be on in this next week. So I will be hitting you up to go listen to that, because I cannot wait to rage against the machine about certain political things happening right now. But you also know them from Bravo because of The People's Couch. They're insanely good on Heather McDonald, Jeff Lewis. I mean, they're just the best people ever. Not to blow you guys up too much.
Don't promote other people's shit with us, Ryan. Just ours. promote Heather McDonald's podcast. He has enough listeners.
Yeah. Anyways, Julie Goldman, Brandi Howard, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We love
talking to you too.
I love talking with you as well. One of your fans came up to me at BravoCon at a Tom Sandoval show, and they had your t-shirt on, and they were like, you're from their podcast. And like, it was such an intense line for drinks that I was in line with them for 25 minutes. And I mean, so much. It was like, text Brandi right now. Text Brandi right now. I was like, okay. And then it was like so long. And then I was like, then she was like, oh, you're, and then it came out that she was like, also like, yo, it's so cool. You're gay. And you're like, and I'm like, oh, I'm not gay, but like, thank you so much for saying that. And we're like, it just, like, it was like,
really excited. And then I think I disappointed her with the I'm not gay thing. And I was like, but I could be gay. I want to. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. She was like, ew, gross. I've been in line with this like guy for 20 minutes.
This guy won't leave me alone.
I love that you took a picture. I was like, we only have 14 listeners. So the fact that one of them wore our shirt to BravoCon, like really slow clap for her. I forget her name because you texted her name. Right. Because you
said, I texted you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I sent the whole, all the information.
I was so drunk, I think, when I got that. I'm glad you reminded me. Our 14 listeners, they're strong. That's the one good thing about it.
No, I mean, she was canvassing the area. She was looking for other Randy and Julie heads, you know?
And she didn't find any.
Yeah. It was just her.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing in 2023? What's going on?
What kind of show was Tom Sandoval doing? I must know.
I mean, it's like all like kind of like 80s covers, 90s covers, and he has like a 10-piece band. So it's like full like saxophone, like everything. Like he has a full like orchestra section. So I mean, I would like there's a certain funny aspect to it, but then they're actually really good musicians and they do way better than you would expect them to. So all around, like, I just think it's a really fun time, but I got so hammered that night. I got my bag stolen with all my equipment in it and my wallet. And imagine getting stuff stolen at a Tom Sandoval show.
I mean, honestly, even at BravoCon at all,
God, what a nightmare.
Were you in a total shame spiral after that?
Oh, I realized after at like 2 a.m. I had to go back to the Manhattan Center, and you want to see something embarrassing going back into the room that you were like totally partying your balls off and be like almost in tears. Like, have you seen a bag with recording equipment? I flew too close to the sun.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Did you go to a self-imposed rehab after that for like 2 weeks?
The next 2 days I kept going. I was like, it's time to just keep going. And then you'll be ashamed for the next couple months after this. So I just kept going. And the sad thing is with being me, everybody was just like, oh, that checks out. That seems like something that would happen to you. Even my mom was like, oh, you did that again? Like that happened? Like, oh man, you just have bad luck.
I mean, your wallet. Oh
yeah.
Your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, the sad thing is that the phone's really the one thing that you don't want stolen.
That's true. You can get everything back in the phone is the biggest nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel you. Yeah. I would do something like that too. Like I leave my shit everywhere. I'd like forget things. And if I'm drinking or what, I feel you so hard. And then it's just so horrible.
And then my Marita, who works with me, she's there and she's all disappointed. I can tell she's bummed out for me and also sad, like, and also kind of worried for me. Like, oh, this seems to happen to you a lot.
Yeah.
So I try to explain that to the audience. That's the shitty part about getting older is that like you keep making the same mistakes. And so you're like just tired of yourself. You're like, oh God, again.
Yeah, exactly. You think you make changes and then all of a sudden you've left your wallet again on the hood of the car and drove away with it. But you're holding your coffee or you drove away with the hood of the car.
Yeah.
Are you back into your own Vespa?
Or you're so drunk last night when you're carrying the bottle of Vouv that's open that you took from the party because you can't leave the Vouv behind. And it slips right out of your arm. And I'm sure it's across the driveway. And then there goes the $100 bottle of champagne.
Right.
Wait, what party are they allowing you to take open bottles of booze? What party
is
this?
It was Leah. It was at Leah Black's house. It was a home
party. Oh, Leah. Okay. Now it checks out. Okay.
Yeah. So many times I've left her house with the champagne, like in the car and like drinking it, like on our way somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah. It's shattered.
By the way, Leah's going to be on this season of Miami for like a guest appearance. She showed up in the trailer and this season of Miami. I've talked about it so much. It's so good. And I'm so excited to see her back in whatever capacity.
She apparently at BravoCon when they played the Miami, like the trailer for the upcoming season, when it showed Leah, everybody like clapped and screamed in the audience.
Oh, I was there. That was me. It was the only thing that brought me back from losing my wallet and all that stuff. It was like the Sunday and I was like, yeah.
You should have her on. She'll totally come on. You've had her on before, right?
Yeah, I've had her on once. In fact, I'm pissed. I wanted to go. Now I should have gone to that party. Like, I need to get in with the cool people. Yeah, I want to be like stealing bottles of Vouv and like dropping them places. I could totally wreck her house completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should come with us. It's fun.
It's fun. It is. You don't even just steal it. She just gives it to you.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about Leah. She'll just hand you a bottle of something before you leave. Here, take this with you. You're like, okay.
Everybody says she is the funnest person to hang out with, like legitimately a fun person. And that's, yeah. Okay. We'll dance around everything, but Salt Lake wrapped up its season last night, if you want to call it a season.
Exactly.
And you were on at the beginning of this season, and we were talking Beverly Hills and stuff like that, but I really had high hopes. What did you guys think overall of the season?
I thought it fucking sucked. I thought Meredith, her extra work, we can do without it. Like, she, I don't know when she got into like the extras union, but she's clearly like trying to get her free vouchers so she can get into SAG. I mean, like, she is so lame. And like, we're Lisa Barlow stands. So, yeah.
Lisa, I don't know what you think you're doing. But Brooks is going to be showing us sweatpants soon. And we all need to rally around.
She has this kind of stroke way to talk with a stroke. It's like a stroke thing.
There's always like a
Steph and I are going to take a planner after I brutalize my family. I don't want to do it.
Seth's like, I like tits. What's going on? I'm in Canton, Ohio. I love Whitney's boobs. Yeah, yeah. I'm a fun guy.
Fun guy. Fun creep, perv, rapey fucking twat. I hate his guts. I can't.
Coming out strong.
Ryan, you have to know. Really strong.
Yeah, really strong. No, I can't stand him.
We were cut out of On People's Couch, where we watch TV for a living, for a very, very small amount of money. We would get cut out a full of Bravo episodes because of how much Julie hated certain house husbands, housewives. And the one she hated the most, yeah, beyond. Like, that's like
that's her probably not fun. Job.
It is my full-time job.
And so her top hated one for all of time was always Peter, Cynthia's ex-husband. She'll still, I'm like, Peter's not, he will lurk sometimes. He was lurking on the episodes with Nene and we're just like,
guts.
But now Seth.
Well, did you see Peter's back?
Yes.
On Potomac?
Oh.
Who's he kidding?
Case. Adjourned. Exactly. Of course, he's on Potomac.
Adjourned.
First fucking opportunistic piece of shit. Like, I can't not with him. Of course he's on. Of course he's on another show. Of course he is.
And the way he grooms himself is like a Backstreet Boy. It's like everything is just perfectly groomed. The lines are there. It's always like a very shiny bald head. It's just it really does way too much.
Yeah, way too much. Which, ironically, is what Angie's fucking husband, not Angie Lips, Angie Harrington on Salt Lake, the husband had his weird fucking beard all manicured. Did you see? No, Brian, you should have known.
Well, I feel like this is coming close to like what I look like as that dude. So I'm like really very nervous.
The top of his mustache. Yes,
he's doing like a this thing, like a KKK person.
And I brought up Peter. I was like, what's the top of his fucking beard like Peter?
Yes.
But anyway, the bottom line is this. Seth has passed over Peter now for Julie.
For me.
And the level, the level that she goes in on Seth, like, that this is her side hustle is the Seth hating. The full-time job is hating all the husbands, but Seth has become the side hustle job because
I've come to really like Whitney's husband. I think he's really supportive. Like,
He's like,
I've like come to like him. Obviously Lisa Barlow's husband is fine. I mean, he's a little, you know,
he's a little Lance Armstrong.
He's a little Lance Armstrong. Yeah. 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 The lips are a little blown out for me from the,
he's only got one ball. He's, doing steroids,
a lot of hiking.
Blood transfusions.
Yeah. You can tell like,
dude, she was all of a sudden fly fishing. She was fly fishing last week with him all of a sudden in a boob top.
I just, he like probably walks a canoe to the river and with one arm rose it. I don't know. He's just a lot, but whatever. Yeah. But he's not a mean guy or anything. Yeah. He's just, you know what I mean? But and Seth,
he listens to Lisa like dumb shit. To
drone on. Yeah. I like
such a good listener.
Yeah.
Seth, at the beginning of Salt Lake City, Seth and Meredith were not even together. They were like separated and clearly dating other people. Okay. Seth is in another town talking about some company he works for.
Canton, Ohio. Canton, Ohio. Come with me.
No, clean shaven. Clearly not a, he's not, it's not that he's,
he was definitely way uglier first season.
Yes. He's trying to come for the hot. Yes. So then
I like Brandy says he's better looking now. Brandy's like, he's really pulled it together.
He is better looking now. Yeah, for sure.
But that's what's annoying about him is that he's trying to be all like the star. Ugh.
They somehow came together and they talked, and Meredith also has her own makeover, and then he's got a makeover. It's like they work together to come back into like, we let's use the show. Let's get our bodies together. We'll come together. We'll blah, blah, blah. And he took it so fucking far and I can't stand it.
She looks like Jennifer fucking Garner. Like she walked into the Watch Run Live and she was like, who's that, Jennifer Garner? I'm like, I think that might be Meredith. Like what?
Do you think there's any chance in hell that he really is the boss of 4,000 employees? Like, no. I was like, oh my God, is this Elon Musk? Or is this Elon Musk all of a sudden? Like,
there's no way.
You put 4,000 employees' jobs at risk. I'm like, where is he working that he's under? He always seems to be on the show. So I don't know where he's working.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, Meredith, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. But then, of course, then he has to go. But I lost the plot, and I will always lose the plot with any of these husbands. You want to fucking talk about another, not only just another woman's, but another wife's boobs. And then we all need to think that's hilarious. And you're some fun loving guy as you.
And they make a boob cake.
She was so annoyed and was so sick of his bullshit talking about her tits. And you can say what you want about Whitney and her, she puts her boobs out, whatever. And fine, blah, blah, blah. But the
I love Whitney.
Yeah.
And or you as in one. It's like the world
The royal world.
Like, because he's not so threatening. He can fucking constantly grab hand her and talk about her fucking boobs all the time. She had to make a cake and be like, here's my boobs. Fuck all the way off and shut the fuck up, you little fucking punk.
Oh,
he's a punk.
Well, let me ask.
Oh,
if you watched the season, you must have really loved, and especially if you're a fan of Titanic, Seth and Meredith's bathtub scene where he was like, you're jamming your toe in my ass.
Yeah, I love it, Seth. I love putting my toe in the paint. Like, and even that, like,
would you say it's a family that poses?
Yeah, the family that poses. I was like, that was on the tip of my tongue the whole time. Like, we know she told us all the dirt. The motherfucker doesn't have 4,000 employees. I mean, and the family does pose. And Brooks is a bugger too, quite frankly. We can't really stand Brooks.
I mean, Brooks the fashion show he did 48 hours ahead. She's like, Mom, I'm working on this and I only have 48 hours to do it. I'm like, well, maybe don't do it. If this is fashion, like, it's not like America's Next Top Model. You should have done this months ago if you're like going to put together a whole, I don't know how fashion works, but I don't think it's that way. I'm like, this is for mental health. Like, why don't you take some time and actually try to make a good product? And it all came together, of course.
I don't know why they all sound like her. And it's just weird. The daughter, him, her, they all have that thing where they talk like that. And Mom,
like Xanax. It's like a Xanax family.
It's crazy.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, when they did that to Jen Shah and whatever with Jen Shah, but when Brooks was so offended by her vagina, I just like, they're all just so pretentious and full of shit and fake. And I'm not going to have you say that some woman's vagina offended you. It's just, I just can't deal with it. It makes me feel.
No, that's why Lisa Barlow, like, I don't have any hopes for Lisa and Meredith ever coming to terms with that, because what she said was brutal, but that why it was brutal was because there was so much honesty in there.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't come, you know, it's like people kind of, you can say, Lisa, like, man, that is really rough stuff, but you can't really argue with the content of what she was saying. It was like,
you can't.
Kind of there.
You can't.
And we all were like, she did fuck half of New York. And we at least knew all the you know?
But what else? We saw it in the first season. She admitted to it. So why is it a big deal now? Like they did. We saw them have problems with the relationships. So take not pride in that, but like, yeah, that happened. So what? Also, Jen Shaw in that first season as well was rumored to have a boyfriend, and that had gotten brought up. And now that got released in court documents, or they tried to bring that up a couple of weeks ago about her crossing state lines to go like hurt the lady that he was like, she was like messing around with her husband. And that lady had sent text messages to Coach Shaw. And so she crossed state lines in 2019 to go like beat her ass. And they had like a restraining order put against Jen Shaw. But I just think it's so weird. It's like you mentioned these things in the first season, and now this season, all of a sudden it's like, let's not tell the truth about anything. That's why they had to end it last night. It was so weird. The ending.
It was so weird.
Bizarre.
It was so weird.
Bizarre.
And the thing for me with Jen Shaw, and it's all awful and it's whatever, but at the end of the day, particularly in these shows, for anyone to act like when particularly there are people who have done shady things, whether it be cheating or infidelity or whatever, right?
Drugs. They money launder.
Taxes. What about Apollo?
He scammed fucking a million people. Right. In jail. He's back.
Right. On show.
Fired off of Bravo.
Teresa's back, like the queen of New Jersey, we love her.
We love Teresa, like personally.
Yeah.
They scapegoat people to such an exploitive, grotesque extent and then discard them. And then maybe she'll come back. But then all the people who are doing the exploiting are acting like they're angels. Like, and I don't know, it bugs. It's not real.
It's not real, but also it's just like, what a messy season. And even just in terms from a production angle of like, you do 25 minutes as an opening, you do this choir that doesn't look like it's ever rehearsed a day at all.
Girl.
Like, stop fucking lying to all. Like, stop lying about everything on this season of this show. Like,
everything.
You didn't rehearse. It was so embarrassing and cringeworthy. Heather Gay is all over the map in terms of like who she is even anymore.
Yeah.
Just like everybody has bad seasons of their life, like I always say, but my God, she's like she's like, girl, like I'll bring this up and I'll get them off your back. And I'm like, stop self-producing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly.
The choir. Exactly. The choir.
You could see they insult the audience's intelligence. It's like,
yes,
we've been doing this too long. We can even see when something's even the producers are producing it, besides just being fake. It's like, okay. Like I did believe that the producers made her drag that eye thing out to a certain extent, or at least, you know, the reveal of the eye. Like I think, you know, that's what's going around. She's now saying that the producers made Heather Gay fucking.
Well, there was that rumor on Des Moines. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, because it's like, okay, so you're saying now the producers are going to make you take the fall for a bad, like they're trying to drag this out. But at the same time, okay, at the end of the day, we still want to know. At the end of the day, you have a show like this. This isn't an old timey radio show. You have cameras. You can actually tell us and show us. And these are things that were on your watch too, Bravo. Like this happened there supposedly. So we kind of deserve to know if it's on, it's kind of like that's on our time. Like we pay for this.
Yeah. And you also dragged it out for three episodes and made us think that we're all going to find out what it was. Then it wasn't anything.
And we never found out.
They should go into prison longer than Jen Shaw should.
Yeah.
For that, I think.
Well, I said the judge should offer Jen a lesser sentence just so she reveals the black eye thing. Just like get a year off or something. But like Heather kind of became like really insanely cringy for me, because I was like, wow, she just has, I mean, talk about not having a moral center, or just kind of just really like she was manhandling Whitney in most scenes. Whitney said, I remember abuse from my childhood, which is a very intense thing. And Heather's like, get out of my way. Like it's ridiculous.
Heather. I say this in with hyperbole, but the roids were roiding. Okay. like I always imagine the thing is that of all the housewives, if I were to be any housewife for Halloween, it would be Heather.
We were
going
to do Whitney and Heather,
right?
When they were in the lingerie. We call Whitney the sunburned slut, even though we love her. And we say that with love. We don't want her anymore. Right.
She's no, always- you should go as Heather and Jen, and one of you, whoever is Jen, you would have the Heather character in her ass, proverbially. So if you could do like a like somebody on top of somebody, because yes. Heather is so far up Jen's ass, she's got like a condo in there.
It is beyond that whole situation. But she did lose her moral center, and the thing was, this is what I think,
and that
she jumped the shark in that fucking reunion. When she ganged up with Whitney and they went off on Lisa.
Yeah.
And she needed to be like, she was up her own fucking ass about how Rihanna posted about her on Instagram. And she was just like eating her own.
Rihanna's made mistakes too, by the way. You want to say it. Rihanna's made mistakes in the past. This is one of those mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, Heather, I liked her the first season a lot and the second season part of it, but I'm so confused. Like, she can abuse Whitney. She has no problem standing up to Whitney, but Jen, no way. No. Look at how much she's going through. Whitney's actually uncovering deep traumatic abuse from her past. And that's just getting like, come on, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean anything.
She's also flip-flopping with Lisa. She isn't being honest. She's pretending to be honest. Then she's not. She's gaslighting. She's making shit up. She isn't going all the way with things. She's then creating a thing where, you know, come on, I don't want to do this. You can't make me do it. When she brought the thing up, she's being so manipulative and so...
She's so thirsty, too.
So thirsty. Yeah, so thirsty. Well, and it isn't a good look. And she has lost her center. And she could find it again. I mean, you know,
yes, we've all been there. Completely. 100%.
But it's such a bad look right now. Yes.
Do you think that Bravo's going to sit them down or put them on fucking pause? If I hear that one more time, it's the new.
Andy calls him to the clubhouse. You guys sit right here. I need to talk to you. And I do wonder now that Jen will not be there. And by the way, that's why the season, I think, ended early. And it was so disjointed even last night's episode, because that issue with Jen is so big that it really kind of monopolizes and holds the show hostage from all of these other ladies' actual life issues. Because at the end of the day, you're like, well, there's decades in prison, possibly. You can't stop thinking about that. And the show doesn't want to or can't handle that, answer anything honestly. We're not finding any new information. In fact, the producers are like, Jen, are you ready to tell us now? And then they end the season. They're like, okay, we're done. Like, we don't get any new information from that. So there is no satisfaction from an audience's member for any of them, because all the storylines, we started off with Whitney excommunicating herself from the Mormon church. And that was one episode, and that's done. We never followed up on that. Lisa Barlow, even like the Jazz tickets. Well, you going to talk to any of the guys that she allegedly slept with for favors? You just put that rumor out there. Usually Bravo will drag that out and start like trying to find people that have like been a part of it.
Yeah.
Melissa Gorga is an example in the past. They randomly show up at
like a charity event. Like, great.
Exactly.
They always do that. Yeah. You're right. They dropped everything. Every single thing.
And they don't like each other. The cast doesn't even like each other enough to make it interesting for the audience. So next week when the reunion happens, we're going to have four people plus the Angies and probably some random bartenders that were on the season. Who knows? Just to fill space, because Jen Shah won't be there. But like Meredith and Lisa, they don't like each other. Obviously, Heather and Whitney don't like each other. So what are we going to really see out of this reunion? If they drag it out for more than two episodes, that's like a crime, just like Jen Shah's crime.
We've been reading that the reunion sucks.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. I mean, well, how would it be good? Like, all of a sudden, are they going to focus on something that we have no, like, hey, Whitney's like, actually, this year was a great year that I climbed a mountain. And like, I mean, like, are we going to talk about things that weren't even on the show? That's the only way it could be long, because everything on the show.
Yeah. Even with Whitney, who dropped that bomb and that there was all of that stuff happened, we don't really know what happened. Like with her.
Exactly.
We don't know.
We don't know. Every single thing is just a shell of a thing. It's all a shell of a thing. We don't know the abuse. We don't know about the eye. We don't know about Jen Shah, regardless of what she pled guilty to in whatever, we don't really know. We don't know any of it. We don't know what happened with Coach. We don't know.
We didn't even know, actually, though, Ryan. So tell us about the state lines thing. So you're saying that.
Well, that was something that the Southern District tried to add to the case last week of like, yo, like, we want to submit this too, because the lady that had filed the police warrant and the restraining order, the thing when you're the restraining order. Yeah, the lady that filed the restraining order like contacted them because of Jen's behavior in this last and said, hey, I just want to remind you that this is out there. And so they presented that in front of the judge, and it the judge was really lenient on a lot of things.
What is, I don't know.
What District of New York have such a fucking hard on for Jen Shaw? Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. we're not obviously for scamming elderly people. And by the way, if they were like, most of the people are 55, I'm like, you're pushing it. Like, like that's not elderly. Like, we're most of the people over 70, because 56 year olds know what they're fucking doing. Sorry that they clicked on your Facebook ad that Jen Shaw put in, took that QAnon resource to fucking click on the ad. I don't care that QAnon fucking mother got scammed. Sorry, I don't. Get off Facebook. So basically, Jen and Stewart put Facebook ads out to get, you know, people who live on Facebook to click on it. And then they gave that list to a drug cartel sitting up in some, you know, building in New York that the Southern District of New York was like following, thinking it was like that it was drug money. They didn't understand what was happening in that building. And then for and maybe Jen Shaw was the one who rented that or leased the space they were in. Somehow it came back to Jen, but Jen was not the mastermind of that. They just gave a list of people. Not that
in the court documents, it does come pretty correct. Like it comes that she was very aware of the scam after a certain point, you know, and she was really, she was the top of that. But like the Stewart thing, like even last night, I think this is kind of like one of my last hurrahs with Jen, where I was like, man, even in this moment, you're still blaming like, oh, that Stewart dicked me over. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like that. Stewart dicked you over, like all of a sudden he was the true mastermind and he went up and picked your shit up and all of this stuff, but it secretly he was the one. And like, and at a certain point I'm like, wow, are you actually going to ever, I truly in my head don't think she thinks that she did anything still. Like I think there's a real part of her that's like, well listen, I think it was just, I didn't realize it was illegal. I think she tells herself these things. We saw that scene with her mother last night and her mother's like, you're innocent though, right? You're innocent. Yeah, and no, her mom had supposedly gave up her retirement fund. And like it's wild.
Yeah.
It is wild.
I think our issue is that the Southern District of New York, who clearly should be investigating and worried about Trump, and they aren't. And who, you know, it's like, you're now going to put her
in familiar with him. Is that?
Yeah. Put her in a federal and all of Trump's cronies and all of Trump's family. And all of the people that are, you know, at the top of corporations who are scamming everyone,
Elon Musk,
which Jeff Bezos. You know, it's fine, but these white collar criminals, you know, there's just gotta be a better way. And now then, you know, all the people involved, all the men probably getting 1 year and Jen Shaw getting six. And it's just, I don't know. There's bigger fish to fry than that. Not that they should, of course, stop the scam. She should pay the victims back. It was wrong. She should take, we're not saying that any of that was right. It's just like, doesn't feel like.
I guess this is really, and maybe also this is a thing of colliding worlds of politics and this colliding.
So I'm saying that to the audience. We have a political podcast, so we deal with the anger of injustice. It's like, so it's hard.
But that's why it's so weird is that this does touch into all of, like, Housewives touches into politics.
Yeah. Now.
Like it is expanded in terms of like what we're dealing with in America. It's a direct result even in Housewives, I feel.
Yeah. Well, and Jen Shaw, I mean, I think this particular thing more than Teresa and Joe and more than Martha Stewart, let's say, like we literally are living through, we just finished the Speaker of the House debacle where they changed the committee rules, where they changed the rules where one person can go, whatever, we won't get into it. But at the end of the day, we're going to investigate Hunter Biden's laptop, Joe Biden. We're going to investigate all this bullshit and the weaponization of the FBI. Meanwhile, we're going to take this woman who did a fraud thing with money, and we're going to put her in prison for 6.5 years while all this other stuff is going on and is bullshit. We're going to now do that. I don't know, for me it reeks of hypocrisy. It reeks of the problem with our prison system. It reeks with the problem of sexism. Mm-hmm. It is all of the things colliding. And she is like this figurehead of, we're not saying she did something right and she isn't innocent, But no. Does the punishment fit the crime? And why are we only choosing crimes that certain women do that they go to prison for while full fucking crime families are not in jail?
Well, I mean, I agree with that aspect of it, but I would like to investigate Jen Shah's laptop as well. I mean, listen, I think 6.5 years is still, and that's considered a good sentence from what she could have gotten because it was so much more intense. But I was also just shocked that she's agreed to like $9 million in restitution. And she's going to start paying off $6 million of it, but 6.5 has already been forfeited. So they had squirreled some money away. If you already have 6.5 million ready to go, that must have been kind of, well, I find it interesting. And last night it got brought up in terms of Coach Shah. And if you had read the court documents, there are text messages to Stewart from Jen going, Coach will coach us through what to say to the F, like what to say to them, what to say to them. Yeah. So it kind of showed that Coach was aware at a certain point of what was happening, and he was going to kind of coach them in the right ways to answer.
Right. Right.
So what didn't he know? Or like,
That's really yet to be determined. And I don't think, but interesting if, you know, you think about it from a male perspective, I don't think they're going to even touch him. Like, I think they're like, okay, we got Jen. That's good. And almost kind of like, I think that was the idea that was brought up last night, kind of like, well, Jen's the sacrificial lamb for that family and she'll go. And I mean, like with Teresa, we saw Teresa and Joe both serve sentences, one on top of the other, but not at the same time. But I don't see them making any kind of inroads at Coach. And I think at this point, I think there's one more case to go in this, but they kind of put it to bed with Jen.
Right.
I wanted to know. I forgot my question. I'll think of it. I like have so much shit I want to ask you because you read all the documents.
Well, what did you think? What did you think about them going and like the changing of the plea, but to have Heather and Meredith? I mean, obviously this is a planned trip that Bravo pays for that, you know, they're filming them out to film. They have a crew there. And I do find it funny now that now is Jen is proudly rocking the Brooks Marks outfits. She's like, yeah, shows up. Like, I always loved his designs. And like Meredith there is like in that conversation with Seth, Meredith's like, I have a real problem if she knows she's guilty and says she's innocent. Where Heather doesn't even seem like, Heather's just like, I love Jen regardless. How did you feel like they handled that whole scenario as a show? Like, I just felt like it was like kind of glommed on to the season finale.
Terrible, horrendous season finale. One of the worst ever in the history of Housewives. It was one of the worst seasons of any Housewives franchise in the franchise ever. But then you top it off with that garbage finale, weirdly put together, that stupid fake ending like 3 months later.
Okay, you guys, now is the part of the show that I love, and we are talking about our sponsors. And this week, So Bad It's Good is sponsored by our friends over at Rocket Money. Rocket Money is kind of my favorite new app, and I got to be honest with you guys right up top, is that I knew about Rocket Money before they were even a sponsor, because I heard it on another show and I was like, whoa, advertising really works. And this thing is awesome. So let's get into it. Let me tell you what this is. But if your New Year's goals, we're still only 2 weeks into the new year. So, you know, is to manage your money better. That is, I think, should be a goal for everybody to try to save money. And that is where Rocket Money comes in. So you can say goodbye to last year's outdated, disorganized methods of managing your money and say hello to Rocket Money, the better way to hack your finances in 2023. So Rocket Money, it's formerly known as Truebill, and it is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. So over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Like, this is, I would actually say 90%. I don't think there's a person I know that doesn't forget about subscriptions because they get it. That's how they get it. I was thinking about this tonight. How many people just depend on us forgetting? Like in our real lives, but also with everything that we buy, they just depend on us not ever, like, they'll never cancel. They don't know. Like, they'll never, but that's where Rocket Money comes in. They are actually on the case, making sure you know
what things that you have and helping you decide what you need to cancel to save money. Think about it. Streaming services you bought just to watch one show on, the free trial that you never even used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you stop paying for the ones you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. That's another thing I want to expand on here. Really, as I get older, I just want things to be simple. Don't you? It's all, everything's such a hassle. But this, they tell you, you click a button and it's done. You simply find the subscription you don't want and you press cancel. And Rocket Money, they cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So this is something that even at dinner tonight, I was with my sister, my nephew, my brother-in-law, my mom and dad. My niece is away. I don't know why I needed to give my whole family location, but I told them about this, and everyone at the table, my mom was like, ooh, that sounds amazing. And my sister loved it. They both are canceling Disney Plus, which you can do through Rocket Money. I have subscriptions I didn't even realize I had. Entertainment Weekly, which doesn't even publish anymore, I still have a subscription to. How is that possible? Thank you, Rocket Money. I do not any longer. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/sobad. That's rocketmoney.com/sobad. You guys, check it out. Do it for me. Do it for the show, but also do it for you. $720, that's a lot of money that you can spend on coming to see me live. Dates announcing soon.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You got to do the food. You got to do the food tasting. You got to book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while, you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
It's like, what? Why? Just figure out a way to edit it together or make it 2 more episodes or something, or lose the stupid book party. Who gives a shit? Like, I don't know.
Oh, you didn't want to see the cover of that book? That didn't inspire you to go read that book?
Cover reveal party. I mean, we have finally gotten just
and you dress. Know she hadn't even come close to finishing that book. Like, I have a feeling that book was really, really behind schedule.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm glad they have a book cover, though. That's good. And she feels that the book cover is so...
You know what? I thought that was tragic that they flew them out there. They when like they're hugging, and it's like, and then Bravo immediately fired her. That's the other thing that's like Julie's talking about.
Well, according to the trial, Jen Shaw said in court on Friday that she is still a member of the cast of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And the judge said still. And she said still. So I don't know what that means. My thought was like, does that mean she is definitely doing the one-on-one with Andy? Does that mean, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean next season they're going to rush filming and we're going to see her go to prison like we did with Teresa? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Well, how come she wasn't on the reunion then? She's not
because
on the
reunion. Because I think she was supposed to be at the reunion, but then that week was when that thing came up about the restraining order, literally like 2 days before the reunion. And I even theorized, I was like, wow, this came out. I have a feeling she might not want to go to the reunion now. Like, it was just all too intense. And also, I think it's like kind of the impossible thing of how do you have Jen Shaw at the reunion and get answers for stuff that she's not going to be able to answer.
Yeah.
And there's not enough storyline otherwise. You know, so you get the bait like, oh, I'm sure you're feeling very bad right now. Like, it's put the show in kind of an insane position where I just don't think any of it's going to be good.
I heard some bizarre rumor that I guess was just a rumor about that they wouldn't let her into BravoCon and that they had all the housewives in this hotel. Yeah. So if she would be allowed to BravoCon, if she was still a member of the cast. Right.
I think they've gone back and forth with her a couple of times. So that is true. She was not invited to BravoCon, but Jen Shaw snuck into the Friday party and I was there. And all of a sudden,
my God,
like Emily D. Baker, the lawyer, grabs me and goes, you need to come over here right now. And took me to the other end of like the party. And I was like, I was lit. I was like having the best time. And all of a sudden, Jen Shaw's like popping and locking. She's like down on the floor. She's dancing with Sheree Wetfield. And she's like, And I was like, I was just jealous of her knees. Like her knees seem like they can support her body. Like my knee would give out immediately. She was like doing drops, like dropping it like it's hot. It was in. I was like, this can't be real. This is insane. So she snuck into the party, was having a blast. And then supposedly, listen, I don't really trust Tamara Barney either, but Tamara, she like, I guess, barged into Tamara's room with Heather. And then Tamara was like, and she was saying that no, she's no longer going to prison and saying all this stuff. And Tamara brought that up at the next day at the Ultimate Girls Trip panel. And Heather Gay was on that panel. And you can tell Heather was pissed Tamara brought that up. And then Tamara went on to say that Jen Shaw stole liquor bottles from her, not unlike you at Leah's party.
That's right.
You stole liquor bottles. And so I was like, you can't trust Tamara with any kind of information. And so like, she'll use it immediately. But to watch Jen Shaw, I mean, she was truly joyful on that dance floor.
I mean,
I'm so jealous you got to see that.
God, like,
I think she.
I can show you. I have video. I was like, no way. This is insane.
Amazing. Bravo put out a statement that she'd been terminated from Bravo.
Right.
I thought. I mean, right?
Well, Andy said at the Ask Andy panel was like, okay, you know, after she had changed her plea, we didn't really see where we could go with that. He's like, it was like very kind of worded in a very
interesting
way.
See where
way.
You could go with that. I mean, that is just.
Well,
like,
he said once she, because I have a feeling she lied to Bravo and lied to about because she got to proclaim her innocence in the entire season.
Yeah,
right. So maybe follow a liar, see what happens. I mean, I feel like if you want to do reality TV and you want to do it.
We have also, by the way, we're bitter about Bravo too.
Yeah, I
we have a thing with Bravo.
That's true.
That's why we don't watch. We're watching all this shit, Ryan. We only start watching.
No, I know. I'm so sorry that I make you come on here and talk about. I know. I appreciate it that you guys throwing yourself into the foxhole like this, but it's one of those. It's one of those, I don't know, the Jen Shaw stuff just bums me out on so many levels. Like it kind of shows the weaknesses of the show. It shows the weaknesses of these kind of franchises.
Yep.
It shows the weaknesses of female friendships when there's not any. Like it's not even, the thing is, the funny thing with Jen, I keep telling the audience, I was like, it's not even like she ends up looking good in these seasons, which you would think would be impossible. You would think, wow, somebody up on that many charges that change your plea. But she ends up looking better because everybody around her seems to be even worse in certain ways. Like they seem to be even more insane. And that's what like kind of boggles me is that every, like the last two seasons I go, man, what a mistake for Jen to go on this season. And then each season I'm like, well, she actually kind of survived that. Mary Cosby really looked insane. Or like, you know, by default, she looks sane.
Well, why not? That's the thing. If it's showing it, making everyone else look terrible because everyone else looks like hypocrites and everyone else looks like bullies and bad guys. And you turn your back on someone when they're down, even when, if it's your friend, if it's your own kid, if your own kid killed someone, parents have to rally around and still love their murdering fucking son.
Well, dude, that Idaho murders that just happened, the family released a statement saying, we cannot believe our son did this. Like, we can't allow ourselves to believe our son did this. Yeah. We hope for like justice for the families, and we are anxious to see what happens in the trial, but we cannot, as his parent, believe that. You know, it was almost, we can't believe that yet. But right. It's like, yeah, that's their son. They can't believe that.
Yeah. So I would think that for a reality show that has been so played out, that is so produced, that is so fucking lame at this point, you have something so real and so powerful, whether it's good or
bad. And they fumble the bag. They
fumble the bag, and they fired the best thing that ever happened to them. And I mean that in the sense of, we could potentially have something that shows some, let's show the hypocrisy.
And let's show a story arc too, a true.
But can you show hypocrisy? But can you show that if Jen is going to continually hold on to a narrative that essentially, no matter, even if you think the jailing is untrue, yeah, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's say we don't know. That's the thing. So if you can hold on and follow her, I would believe, my belief is that if she's going to go to actual prison, which I think is ridiculous, that I think there's lots of other ways to punish that person. But okay, she's going to go to prison.
He can be on the show for 10 more years.
Let's say she goes to 1 year.
It was on fucking house arrest with the snakeskin jacket or whatever.
Exactly.
What was that guy's name?
And the Trump tax
guy. Paul Manafort.
Right. And the Trump tax guy is only going for 3 months. So.
Yeah. Weisselberg. Yeah.
Weisselberg is 3 months. And this woman's going for 6.5 years. Just get into it. So why don't we, let's say she goes for a year. Let's say she goes for a year. A year, that's nothing in TV. You can have, I'm quite sure, since it's a federal prison, you could have at least audio hooked up to her. I'm sure you can meet with her once a week.
Teresa was offering you.
A talking head through that prison glass would be insanely amazing. Oh, like
iconic.
Iconic. And you don't think that that person in prison for 1 year will change at all? You don't think that
even just her face, her face work. I can't wait for it.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to see what that happens. But like, Julie, it's like that is so kind of dead on, because you could have people visit, you could have you could do scenes through the prison glass. And then like, I mean, it would. And also, what if we did a deal where every dollar she made on that went directly to her restitution?
Perfect.
So like, she's able to give money back to the victims. Like, I mean, that would actually be an interesting take on all of this. I just don't know how you even, if you're not going to have Jen back, which I think, you can't like be middle of the road. You can't have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. So I think they either need to keep her and like figure out a way to do it through prison with calls and stuff like that. Or they need to start figuring out what the F they have, because the ladies that remain, I mean, that the Angies, none of them are like, they're okay. Dana, she got her one line that was actually good in the trailer cut last night. It was supposed to be in there of like, you better watch how you talk to me or I won't put money on your books. That was in the trailer. It got cut from last night's episode. Also, the Meredith combating Whitney, saying that like, I notice it's always you bringing up the problems. That scene got cut from last night too. Those were two like decent scenes that all of a sudden we don't see at all, because they've edited them out, but left them in the preview.
They
completely fumbled the ball in every way. And we're hearing that that it's done. I mean, at least for next season, at least
I heard that rumor that they were.
Yeah.
I still think at the end of the day, if they're going to be this lazy about this season, then they're going to be like, they're going to keep it going. Cause at the end of the day, it's not a huge, the ratings kind of suck, but it still makes ad revenue. So they're not usually in the habit. Like that's a franchise they launched successfully. So I think there's investment in that, in the sense that they won't do what they did to Dallas, I don't think. But who knows? I mean, this is really bad. So
they did it to Miami.
I'm really curious.
Yeah. They took Miami off after 3 years, right, originally.
And by the way, really great decision in retrospect, because they came back and they were all friends. And like, I mean, I think this season of Miami just kicks ass. Like, it's really good.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah, we don't.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know.
The only way I think that they could save Salt Lake City at this point would be, since they're going to get rid of Jen, is they need to get like some rich sister wives to get into the fold.
Thank you for giving me that opening, because I needed that. Was what I want.
I want to ask you, why did the half the, like, another shady thing is just that the a lot of the money has to go to the government, right? She has to pay however much money. And it said,
yeah,
$1 million amount to the government. And then the other million, like, to victims. Like, what are you doing? Oh, is it taxes? It they didn't be. Say. So it's taxes.
It must be.
Yeah. It's taxes. Because there's also, I mean, they didn't, she wasn't charged with this, but there is tax fraud too. So there, that is like restitution as well on top of that.
Okay.
But it came out today in court paperwork that she only has to, and this is, I believe, after she's out of prison, her wages, whatever wages they may be, will be garnished by 15%, which is not bad. Like, I mean, she can keep, you know, like 15%. But Coach made $721,000 last year at his coaching job. Like, that's a lot of money, $721,000.
So will his shit get garnished too?
No, I don't think it will. Well, I mean, that I can't say that. I don't know that for sure, but I would think so, or at least I would think Coach would give it willingly if they are united front. But they've got so much expenses and
what's that?
You think they're going to break up?
About 6 years or whatever. It's going to be a long time. And also, I had somebody from Danbury prison come on the podcast last month, and she was talking about, like, she got a girlfriend in prison. She got, like, didn't love it, but she made some of the closest friends of her life. They had birthday parties. Like, they, you know, life finds a way. Like, they were able to lay out if the COs were nice, you know, like
she told Julie and I that she'd get massages. She did yoga. She got all her body all good in prison.
She said she wasn't bragging about it. She wasn't like, oh, it's a party, but she said, listen, it's like horribly depressing, but you do, you know, like, you have a TV in the common room, you have to agree with what to watch, but, like, you know, we threw birthday parties for each other. I'm still in contact with everybody. You know, there's one computer, they read your emails, but you still get to be on it. And I was like, if you get a computer in your cell, I'll fucking kill somebody tomorrow. Like, it's like, want is to read. Yes, sorry. You said Sister Wives is casting, and I know I just have a little bit, a couple more minutes with you guys, but I wanted to bring, I'm so fascinated with Sister Wives in the last couple of seasons. They have 17 seasons, and I just started watching it like 2.5 seasons ago. Why do you think Cody's like the best man of the year? Julie, you first.
When did you say you started watching it? 2 seasons ago?
Like about 2.5 seasons ago.
Okay.
We've been watching Sister Wives from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So,
whoa, you watch all 17 seasons?
So we're deep in the Sister Wives game. And
pre-Robin.
Pre-Robin. When we watched Robin get in, which also, by the way.
Browse?
Yes, Browse. So listen, how about Christine and Janelle as Salt Lake City New Housewives? Anyway,
I'm so happy Christine and Janelle are out, and Mary this week made the announcement. But I mean, Cody's like been very open with like, I don't even like that one, you know?
Right, exactly. I think that show, first of all, I don't even know where to begin. So I would say, first of all, I think that this last season, the episode that Cody and Christine sat with each other in the library and talked out their
issue. And we saw the light going down in this window in the background. You guys, it was the most intense episode ever because it was just flat talking. I loved it.
It was Emmy award winning. I really think it's one of the best moments of television and
scenes
in reality TV and history.
And they did
it with
their own equipment, own camera, their own sound.
Yes.
You're doing too much, fucking Bravo.
Yes.
You're doing too much. They set up their GoPros and sat there.
It's just relationship.
Yes.
Relationship.
It was riveting. It was riveting. And it was everything we wanted her to say, and it was everything we knew he'd say. And he pretended he was the thing for me in the entirety of the entire series is that all of them, maybe except Janelle, who actually I think would have been content to continue on if things had stayed status quo. But for the most part, I believe that those women and him were deluding themselves from the beginning. They were living in a house of cards that they had been dealt from their families and their religion. And they didn't understand going into it, the feelings that a human being has when in an intimate relationship with other people, and when your own worth is degraded systematically and you don't even realize it until you wake up and realize, wow, I feel worthless. And I think that's what happened to Christine, what happened to Janelle, and what happened to Mary. And Cody, on the other hand, spent his eternity thinking he was the head of the family. This is what men do. This is what our religion say. I'm the fucking father. I have to have all these kids. And love is multiplied, not divided. But in fact, love is a specific and it's intimate, and it isn't about loyalty and respect to you because you're not a fucking god. So he really fell apart in the same way everybody fell apart, because his whole world was his whole idea of reality was destroyed in a similar way theirs was, but his was different because his was so narcissistic, and he's exploding and his ego is, he's going in such a different direction than them, which are experiencing freedom. And I want to, you know, to feel valid and worthwhile and love and intimacy and blah, blah, blah. While he's lost the fucking plot. He has lost the plot.
Even his tendrils of hair want to get away from him. Like, there's those tendrils that are like come down.
They're trying to go back and then escape on the side.
I will sometimes just days off watching his tendrils on the reunion, like just kind of flip. And then it'll be like, gosh darn, you don't even understand me. Like, he throws actual
tantrums.
Like, and all the women are just like, okay, Cody, okay. And they're like calm completely. And he'll be like, you don't understand what it's like to be a man.
Right.
Then he said, right.
It's amazing.
It's like, but it's really dark because, you know, you guys, I try to explain my love of the show. And it's like what you said, it's like these, it doesn't take much. You don't need fancy locations. Like, the reunion is like a Pier One Imports. They're using like a bed set from like Pier One. Like, it's ridiculously under. I want to see you guys host that reunion. Like, I want to see that. Like, but Cody even tried to hug the reunion interviewer, and she just went in for the handshake, and he was like, oh, okay.
He's reverting hard.
It's his inner child is like coming out. What's interesting, having watched it from the beginning, this to me, the saddest part about it, we always watch it with Julie the whole time. So it's interesting. The show's been on for like, I don't know, 10 years or something. It's a million seasons, but it's, I think, 10 years. It might be a little more than that. But Julie couldn't take, of course, you know, the concept at first, because it's three women and one guy, and she hit them, and it's a whole to do. So it'd be like, okay, then we, you know, and her growth and her evolution through it. I mean, we've grown older with them, and so it's been really interesting. But it's sad to me that he was, even though they were faking it for the cameras, because they said in this last thing that they were faking it. You know what I mean? They were having trouble that whole time. They were all infighting, but they were pretending for the cameras, and they wanted the job. He felt always loved and adored because he had 47 fucking loser kids that were little, but now all those little boys have turned into adults and he doesn't respect them and they hate him. And when he,
and they want to get their pencil wet.
Just,
that's what he said in the last episode. He goes, they go out and get their pencils wet.
And the whole thing with coronavirus, I mean, again, now we've got politics intersecting with the show, and it was so, it's so sad to watch for me, with my daddy issues, to watch these million kids that he insisted on having. He only wants to be around the young ones. Did you notice that, Ryan? Like,
he goes, the young ones, if something happened to the young ones, like all of a sudden he's like Noah, and he's like, I've got the young ones, I've got animals, you guys are good. Exactly. It's like wild.
Yeah,
I would hate to be one of the older kids, because it seems like he does not care.
Yeah, he only wants to be around the little ones because they sit there and revere him and look up to him. And now that he has grown men that he insisted on having 20 million kids, he certainly doesn't care about Mary and her one daughter. And it's like, the daughter is a trans man now.
Yeah, sorry. I was like,
and I'm sure that kid, that little, you know, kid who is an adult now, I mean, she was a little girl, you know what I mean? She's an adult now, of course, because she's sitting there like all they care about is men and that stupid fucking religion. But anyway, okay,
right,
who cares?
Exactly.
It's sad for me to watch him be a terrible, terrible father to these grown children. And that saddest thing I have, honestly, besides that scene, that intense scene in the room between Cody and Christine, one of the saddest things I've ever seen on reality TV was that young boy, he's like an older son now, cry because his dad called him and forgot his birthday. Remember?
Did you? Oh my God. From this season, you guys, it was so insane. He's like, yeah, dad called later. And, you know, like it was he so sad. About
COVID. He's like, hey, yeah, what happened when you got COVID, man? I've got COVID. And the kid's waiting for him to say happy birthday. And he never did. And it's just like, and he says, I haven't talked to my dad since he couldn't even get it out. He says, I haven't talked to my dad since that day. And it was like months and months and months. He doesn't care about he never let anybody in the family see each other because of Corona. Because of the guidelines or the stipulations.
Right. Whatever.
Whatever.
And by the way, I'm all for people taking like COVID seriously, but like even like Janelle said, like we follow the CDC guidelines. Like that should be enough. But Cody was on a whole different page about that. Did you guys like Robin when she was introduced to the show? Because I didn't see when she was introduced. Did you know she was going to have brow issues in the future?
Well, yes, we did. She came in with the brow issues. I don't know. We didn't really like her.
Did you feel bad that she said, did you feel bad this week? She's like, it was taken away from me. The sister wife's life. It was taken away.
The show. No, we did not feel bad for her. No.
No, we didn't like her from the beginning.
No,
really.
No. She just came in a little too hot. She came in a little too hot. And it was just a little, the whole thing. And clearly, and the Janelle and Christine and Mary all felt she came in too hot too. And they all knew. So, the kid thing is so sad. It is so...
Well, they are filming for a new season, so I'm curious where it goes.
I wonder if he'll get a new wife.
He said on this, whatever it's called, tell-all or whatever, it's like it's not a reunion. We'd love to see them all.
They're not even in the same room. Yeah.
It was really illuminating because one with Robin, when she said he was trying to protect our jobs, and it's like, what jobs? So that's the TV show.
Yeah.
We knew when he was throwing his fit, a lot of his fits, the undercurrent, which it's like, we're used to this on Housewives where the thing not being said is that we're all on a TV show. Like, you know, you talk around the TV show, but I felt like that was 75% of it for them. Robin and Cody, is they're mad Christine's leaving because it jeopardizes the TV show.
Right.
So now Janelle has left and he's on this, tell-all talking about how he wants to get back with Janelle and like prepare things with Janelle. So I think that that's either Janelle and them planned it. Cause I wouldn't put it past because Janelle is very like brass tacks. I know her kids hate him and she's on her kid's side and she's sick of him, but even if they didn't plan it, Cody, that's going to be the storyline, is him trying to get Janelle.
But also the relationship with Janelle and Christine is so strong that I think they're leaning on each other and like positive things have happened in their life where I really don't foresee that. I mean, I think when they're out, like you immediately see good things happen in your life. And like, it would be almost like, but she did say she like, you know, part of the tenets of her religion does believe in marriage. And there is that kind of question of like, am I forsaking? Like, I hate Cody so much, but do I want to go to hell? You know, like if you believe in that, that's, you know, that's one of the things of like, and then she's like, and I decided I do. I hate Cody that much. I'll go down.
She'll get remarried. I give her 2 years tops. And I think that she'll be remarried. Christine for sure. Janelle, maybe, I don't know. And I hope that for Cody, my hope for him is that he just focus on Robin and or come out as gay. Cause that could also be a possibility.
Dude, that would be so awesome in so many ways.
Oh. Sorry, I just realized, are we in the dark? Yeah. Oh my God, should I?
Yeah, it was all, but I just figured the sun was going down.
The sun is going down. Okay.
Should I put a line on it?
We're almost done.
Okay.
This is podcasting by candlelight, you guys. This is how the settlers used to podcast. So I'm so excited you were watching from the beginning. Damn. Wait, do you guys talk about this on your Patreon?
No,
we don't.
Oh, you guys just watch this for enjoyment? Oh my God, I would kill.
Yes.
I would kill to have you guys do a Sister Wives podcast. Are you kidding me?
Well, right now,
did you ever like Cody?
You know, there were times when he,
and I thought he looked low-key hot last season.
Yeah.
Like Or he's never
the beginning. Chill with the drinking a little bit, Brandy. Just
enjoy it. The tendrils might be trying to get away, but he's definitely in shape. He looks like he's young.
He shaved his sides.
He looks good.
And the sides were gray, and the blonde was so aggressive. It was the beginning of the season that he looked hot, and I'm like, is he kind of look? He's doing like a weird, like kind of like. And Julie was like, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. They all need to go into therapy. They need to do work on themselves. This is what I would say. It's like, you got to go into therapy. You got to do work on yourself. You need to really analyze. It's like the religion fucks you over so fucking hard. And that religion
is
so fucking misogynistic. And everybody gets fucked up. The men are fucked up. The women are fucked up. You need to go figure your life out and have, you know, it's like, he doesn't care about love. He only cares about respect and loyalty. Like, what kind of life is that?
Go into the Marines or something. If you right. want respect and loyalty.
Yeah, you have 47,000 kids
like, take care
who
of
are desperate to love you.
For love.
And yeah. you are denying them. And you have a wife who you like, I guess, and love. So just, there you go. You've got it all, but you're denying all of it because you're so repressed and arrested development.
Yeah, he goes, I'm looking back on life a lot now. I used to just be looking forward, but now I look back and I'm like, oh, old man Cody looking back at, you know, like, you know, play a Neil Young song, Cody. Like, okay. You guys, I've taken enough of your time. I'm hoping to be on your podcast next week, hopefully. Yes. But you guys, Dumb Gay Politics is the podcast. Their Patreon, which they need to do sister wise, but their Patreon is awesome as well. You can find all of the information that you want about them at julianbrandy.com. Would you guys do a live show with me at Coyote Pass if I can get the permits? Should build a live show on Coyote Pass.
Yeah. Yes. Like yes. A, are you kidding me?
Palooza or something?
Yes, we would.
Yeah. How far is that from your
Arizona?
Yeah. Your parents.
It's supposed to be like 4 hours, I think. Which is because this Christmas, I was like, would it be weird if I drove out to Coyote Pass for a picture? And I was like, I bet Cody's like always watch. I was like, that's how I die, is Cody shoots me on Coyote Pass. Yeah. And I was like, I've died doing what I love, getting weird pictures of reality stuff.
He'd be so nice. I bet.
Yeah. I bet he would be.
How far is it from your parents' house?
I think it's like 4 hours.
Oh, 4 hours. Why? Because isn't it in Arizona?
Yeah. But remember, like you got... it's all spread out. Like, I'll explain maps later, but it's like really no. Also, wait, just one word, Lisa Rinna, happy or sad that she's gone?
Loaded.
That's a hard one.
Kind of loaded.
She's definitely entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, she's entertaining. We love Kathy.
We were on Kathy Hilton's side,
but a good run. She had a great run, and she'll be back eventually. Exactly.
Yeah.
She'll come back.
They all come back.
Except for Nene, and that's who needs to be the first one back.
Yeah.
We're so mad at Bravo. It's not even funny.
I mean, that bridge is so burned. There, if Nene comes back, that would truly be really special. I just don't think that's going to be ever possible at this point. But it would be really awesome if it did.
Yeah.
It should never be, you know, they should be worried about burning the bridge with her. They chewed her up and spit her out just like they do with every single person. And they just want every show to be below deck so they can bring on people, catch them with drugs on the boat, ruin their lives, and then recast the next season.
Yeah. By the way, we are married to medicine fans. And I did
Phaedra's coming back. Phaedra's going to not coming back. Phaedra's going to be on next season. Carlos King announced it yesterday. Yeah.
Yes. So that's very excited about that because we live and love for Married to Medicine.
And you're unofficial cast members yourself. So like, this is huge for you guys. Right. This is huge.
Yes.
We're friends.
I love
you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here again. You're just my favorite guest, but thank you. And I hope to be on your show next week. And guys, go subscribe. I'm Gay Politics. They talk about politics, but in a really fun way, and shows how insane the world is. And you would be kind of ignorant if you didn't pay attention to the political landscape nowadays. So, Brandy is ducked under the day. Okay.
Yeah, sorry,
bye, guys.
Wait, bye. Love you, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan. Bye.
Bye.
Betches.